everybody. I'm Dick Buckley. Have jazz records for you for the next 3 hours. Yes, we're here with jazz records for you. Good old good ones, traditional jazz, classic jazz, the giants of jazz, things you just don't hear all the time. We promise not to have any smooth jazz or whatever you want to call it. We'll have some things that are smooth, but not in the sense that it's being commercialized today. We have, aside from a Prestige Swingville album called Dixieland Sound Spectacular, and this side features Yank Lawson leading them through it with his driving trumpet. The trombonist is Cuddy Cutshaw and Edmund Hall's clarinet. Rhythm section of Dick Wellstood at the piano, Leonard Gaskin the bassist, he's also the leader of the group, and Herbie Lavelle is the drummer. This is the Muskrat Ramble. Wow, what an echo they had on that, huh? That was Muskrat Ramble, done for you by... from an album called The Dixieland Sound Spectacular. Herbie Lavelle was the leader of the group. And, no, Leonard Gaskin was the leader and the bassist. Herbie Lavelle drums and Dick Wellstood going back to his roots there with the Stride piano chorus. Edmund Hall was the clarinetist. Cutty Cutshall trombone. Another one who's taken for granted. A good trombonist, plays wonderful solos, has for years, but nobody ever seems to pay any attention. We did, and it sounded good. Yank Lawson driving them through that one. We haven't heard anything from Dinah Washington in a long while, and I was kind of in the mood to hear a good blues by Dinah. You know, she started singing the blues on record, and her early successes were all blues numbers, and then she kind of got into jazz and pop. And whatever she did, she managed to sell. She was a great favorite with the public. It was Dan Morgenstern who said, "There are all kinds of singers. Somehow Dinah makes most of them sound like little girls." Here she is, after she had had a lot of success with jazz and pop songs, going back to the blues at the Newport Jazz Festival, July 1958. This is Bessie Smith's Backwater Blues.
We're on this Bessie Smith series, and with Max Roach, Paul West, and Wynton Kelly, I'd like to do one of Bessie's most soulful tunes. It's called the Backwater Blues. When it rains 5 days and the skies turn black as night, well, when it rains 5 days and the skies turn black as night, you know there's trouble in the lowlands and everything. Well, I woke up this morning, couldn't even get out of my door. Yeah, I woke up this morning, couldn't even get out of my door. There was enough trouble to make a poor girl wonder where she ought.
Call me to pass.
And she did get her nerves settled down. Yeah, Dinah Washington singing the blues. The queen of the blues she was originally, and then as she went on to all different forms of music and become successful, she just stopped it with the queen. That was it. WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley. We have Jazz Records for you. Just getting things well underway. Lots of good things to come. Here's one. Sometimes it's surprising what you run into looking through the dusty discs. Here's one that was recorded. Grabado en Noviembre de 1971 in El Estudio de MPS. That gives you a rough idea of where it was recorded. And the language, which I have trouble with the United States, you know, when we get into... And all of the liner notes are in Spanish, so you can't accuse me of reading liner notes for this one. Ray Nance. Huffin' and Puffin' is the name of the album. And it's Ray Nance who plays violin and trumpet and vocal throughout the album, accompanied by Kenny Drew at the piano, Ron Mathewson playing the guitar, and Daniel Humer playing the drums. And Ray Nance, with the title song of the album, Ellington has composer credit on it, he huffed and puffed.
He huffed and puffed, played the blues, his horn was in his hand. He huffed and puffed and played the blues, he outblew all the band. When this Pied Piper came to town, they came for miles around just to hear him huff and play and blow those blues away. He played so long, he played so strong, he played the blues all night long. Played so loud, he drew a crowd, he blowed more than the law now. The police huffed and puffed and came and nabbed him there and then. Says the judge jumped up and ordered him to play those blues again.
load is on, you outblew all the band. Now when this Pied Piper came to town, they came from miles around just to hear him hoof, puff, and play. Blow those moves away. Yes, he blows so long, he blows so strong. Played the blues all night long. Played so loud, drew a crowd. Played more than the law now. He's hoofed, puffed, and banged. Nabbed him, damned him. Yes, old judge jumped up and hollered, says, blow. Shoot, blow. Yes, blow, blow.
It was Ray Nance and the title tune from his album on the MPS label. It was recorded in Madrid, I see. And Kenny Drew was the pianist. Ron Mathewson was the bassist. And Daniel Humer played the drums. Produced by Joaquim Berent. All right. Here's Huffin' and Puffin' was the name of it. It's also the name of the album. From Ray Nance to Johnny Hodges. This is an album that Hodges made for the Impulse label back in February of 1964, February 6th of 1964, with members of the Ellington Band, including Cat Anderson and Ray Nance and Rolf Erickson and Herbie Jones, the trumpets. In other words, it's the Ellington Band without Duke. The pianist is Jimmy Jones. Lawrence Brown, Buster Cooper, and Britt Woodman, the trombones. Russell Prokop, Jimmy Hamilton, Harry Carney, and Paul Gonsalves, the saxophones. Jimmy Jones, the pianist. Ernie Shepherd, bass. What a fine bassist Ernie Shepherd is. And Grady Tate, the drummer. This is one of those blues things that Hodges just makes up on the spot by the millions, I guess. This one's the title of the album. Everybody knows Johnny Hodges. Hodges and the Ellington Band without Duke. And a thing called Everybody Knows. From the album Everybody Knows Johnny Hodges. You heard solo-wise on that one. First of all, I hope you noticed Ernie Shepard's strong bass. Good bass player. Intonation is fine. That's what captured my ear. Ray Nance, again, had the first trumpet solo. Then Paul Gonsalves with his tenor. Cat Anderson came in with the Harmon Mute. And a little wah-wah on the Harmon Mute. Jimmy Jones, subbing for Duke at the piano. And Lawrence Brown with his trombone. Okay, everybody knows Johnny Hodges. I hope so. Everybody should. What a player. Everybody knows Freddie Green, too. If you're a jazz fan, you know that he is without peer when it comes to rhythm guitar. There's an album available on the Concord Jazz label. I thought at one time that Carl Jefferson, who ran Concord Jazz, was trying to get the market cornered on guitars. Every time he turned around, he had a new guitar player. Then he put out this album called the Concord Jazz Guitar Collection with two discs, four sides, and covering, well, just some, how many, let's see, four sides, four tracks to a side, and so there are 16 different guitar players heard from. This is called Orange, Brown, and Green. Ray Brown has credit for the composing. Freddie Green and his guitar, with Herb Ellis playing the solo guitar, the single string solo. Rhythm section of Ross Tompkins at the piano, Ray Brown bass, Jake Hanna the drummer. Orange, Brown, and Green, this one is called. Thank you. And that was Orange, Brown, and Green. I think that chorded solo, a couple of choruses, was Herbie Ellis, because you could still hear the rhythm guitar of Freddie Green in the background. Of course, Herb Ellis played good rhythm guitar, too. That was one of the things Oscar Peterson said, that of all the guitarists who had worked with him, it was more fun working with Herbie because Herbie liked to play rhythm guitar. All right, let's see. Oh, yeah, we have Leo Parker coming up, side that he made. I think he was a member of the Illinois Jacquette little band. At least that's pretty much the way the personnel goes here. Recorded for Savoy, July 11th of 1952. Let's see, is that right? No, December 19th of 1947. That makes more sense. And from Illinois Jacquette's little band, Joe Newman, trumpet, J.J. Johnson, trombone, Dexter Gordon was the tenor saxophonist on this gig, and Leo Parker's baritone saxophone, Hank Jones, the pianist, Curly Russell, bass, and Shadow Wilson, the drummer. This one shows you how an A&R man handles an artist with tender care to soothe his nerves so that he can do another cut and do it correctly. The A&R man here is Teddy Rieg. And this is called The Lion Roars. Leo Parker and friends, actually the Illinois Jacquette little band, except Hank Jones was at the piano, and Dexter Gordon was tenor instead of Illinois. Leo Parker and the Lion Roars. Here's one. I would have paid money to hear this group. It was in New York, worked at the Village Vanguard. I think that's where this was recorded. No, this was recorded at the Half Note, it says. Okay. And it featured Art Farmer. The Art Farmer Quartet featuring Jim Hall was the billing. Art and his flugelhorn, Jim Hall, guitar, Steve Swallow, bass, and Walter Perkins, the drummer.
Thank you.
Quartet, featuring Jim Hall guitar, and Stompin' at the Savoy, the great Edgar Sampson swing era classic. That's from an album called Live at the Half Note, the Art Farmer Quartet, featuring Jim Hall, and the bassist was Steve Swallow, the drummer was Walter Perkins. That's it for this first hour. We've got to make room for a couple of important messages, and then right back with hour number two. We're here until 3 o'clock with traditional jazz for you. I'm Dick Buckley. This is Chicago Public Radio, WBEZ.
Next on Performance Space, we head over to the acclaimed North Sea Jazz Festival for a set from popular and eclectic vocalist Diane Reeves with special guest George Duke. Hi, I'm your host, Richard Steele, and I hope you'll join me for all the best in live performance on Performance Space, Saturdays at 8 p.m. and again Sundays at 11 p.m. here on Chicago Public Radio.
Today's programming on Chicago Public Radio is in honor of Mike Rubnitz, celebrating his birthday from his wife, Susan. Have a wonderful and happy birthday. Same from us, Mike. Well, happy how do you do to you, everybody. My name is Jim Nader. Welcome to the Chicago Public Radio Legal ID Show and our special guest. Please welcome Tex Ritter.
I dreamed I was there in hillbilly heaven.
Broadcasting from the Lehman Family Public Radio Center at Chicago's Navy Pier.
Last night I dreamed I went to hillbilly heaven.
This is Chicago Public Radio, WBEZ Chicago, 91.5 FM, WBEW Chesterton, 89.5 FM, and WBEZ.org. It's all the time we have for the Chicago Public Radio Legal ID Show.
We haven't heard from Wes Montgomery in a while. We'll take care of that right now. One of his early sides for Riverside, this was recorded August 4th of 1961, with Hank Jones at the piano, Ron Carter the bassist, Lex Humphreys the drummer, Ray Barreto's conga drums, and Wes and his guitar, with the Twisted Blues.
Thank you.
Montgomery's early successes, Twisted Blues. That was Hank Jones at the piano, Ron Carter the bassist, Lex Humphreys the drummer, and Ray Barreto's conga drums, with Wes and his thumb, his guitar. One of the reasons he gets that soft sound from the guitar is that he used no pick, just his thumb. I don't know how a thumb could move that fast. I used to watch it with amazement. Here's Cannonball Adderley. He took the quintet to the West Coast and had a gig at the famous Lighthouse. Produced an album called The Cannonball Adderley Quintet at the Lighthouse. Brother Nat with his cornet. Vic Feldman was the pianist. Sam Jones bass and Louis Hayes the drummer. Recorded at the Lighthouse October 16th of 1960 with Cannonball and his alto saxophone. And this is Sack of Woe. That one had a lot of little cracks and pops in it, but it had about a half a dozen there midway through that were really... I was going to take it off, but then it suddenly stopped. I apologize for the cracks and pops. That one has seen some rough usage, I guess. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley. I have Jazz Records here for you. We're with you every week from noon until 3 o'clock on Sundays. Hope you're there regularly listening and enjoying. If so, you're enjoying traditional jazz, classic jazz, the giants of the past and those who are still around and still playing so well. Here's Lester Young. This is latter-day Lester Young. I always think of it as latter-day Lester Young, the things that Prez recorded for the Verve label. I noticed that Verve has put these things all out in one big package. To me, it was the low spot of Prez's career, but I have to get back to them every once in a while because they're not all bad. No, believe me. This one is, the title of the album is Duke's famous song, It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing. Prez and his little band with Jesse Drake's trumpet and the title song of the album. Thank you. Lester Young and his little band with It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing. Jesse Drake's trumpet, I was trying to think, was they don't give the personnel on the album. Gildo Mahoney's, I believe, was the pianist, and it seems to me that he was using Connie Kay as the drummer. Here's an all-female group that Mary Lou Williams put together back in the mid-1940s. Featuring Mary Osborne, guitar, Marjorie Himes at the vibes, B. Taylor, the bassist, and Bridget O'Flynn, the drummer, and Mary Lou at the piano. And this is called Blues at Mary Lou's. And her quintet, a female quintet with Bridget O'Flynn, the drummer, B. Taylor, the bassist, Margie Himes at the vibes, and Mary Osborne, guitar, along with Mary Lou at the piano. That was called Blues at Mary Lou's, reissued on an Onyx label called Cafe Society, featuring four different groups that worked at Cafe Society, one of the top jazz clubs during the mid-1940s in New York. In fact, they got two Cafe Societies because things were going so well. It was Cafe Society Uptown and Cafe Society Downtown. WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley. Jazz for you. And here's Duke Ellington of the orchestra. This says it, the album is called Duke Ellington and His Piano at the Bal Masque. And then they have a big blurb in the liner notes about the Bal Masque and the Americana Hotel in Miami Beach. And all that, however, fact is that the things that they recorded at the Bal Masque didn't come off as well as they had hoped. And so they re-recorded the album in the studios and dubbed in the applause. So instead of the Bal Masque, this was recorded in the New York City studios on April 1st, March 31st, and April 1st of 19 what? I didn't write down the year. My do-it-yourself liner notes. Oh, 1958. Okay. Yeah, no, they used several dates. Here we are. Okay. My do-it-yourself liner notes, I couldn't read them. But March 20th, 24th, 26th, and 31st, and April 1st. This is Alice Blue Gown, featuring some wonderful Johnny Hodges, but then what Johnny Hodges isn't wonderful. Hodges featured with Duke and Alice Blue Gown. You know, Russell Prokope was lead alto player with the Ellington Band, but Duke had many things, especially many of the older things, arranged with Hodges playing lead. And boy, no saxophone section ever sounded like the Ellington saxophone section with Hodges as the lead alto. Satin Doll, one of the many times Duke recorded it. That was from the Bal Mask album, and featured Jimmy Wood's bass. Also featured the Hodges-led saxophone section, and Cat Anderson on that accent, that da ba da bo ba da ba ba da bo ba da ba bleep 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 bleep. That's what I like to hear about Cat, just those accents, an octave above everybody else. Here is the Artie Shaw Band, the last big band that Artie Shaw had. He gave it a whirl in 1949 and didn't go. Public didn't care for it. But fortunately for us, although it was 1948 and 49, and 48 was a musician's strike against the record companies, it didn't include the transcription services, and so Artie recorded several things for Thesaurus Transcriptions, of which this is one. Don Fagerquist was the trumpet soloist. He's kind of overblown. This is a bad mix of Fagerquist on the last couple of choruses. Al Cohn was the tenor saxophone soloist. Dodo Marmarosa was the pianist, and Jimmy Rainey's guitar. Irv Kluger was the would-be Dave Tough. This is, it says here, this was written by Trombauer and Moorhouse. Now, Frankie Trombauer recorded a thing called Crazy Cat, but somebody looked up the wrong Crazy Cat, because this was by Johnny Mandel. And with any luck at all, we should hear it right about now. Artie Shaw and the orchestra from 1949. That was Johnny Mandel composition and arrangement called Crazy Cat. Here's Bunny Berrigan. Again, we can thank Transcription Service for these Berrigan sides. He recorded a good many thesaurus transcriptions, and although it doesn't say so here, these things on the collectibles label, Bunny Berrigan 1909 to 1942, collectible jazz classics, are from the Thesaurus Transcription Service. Georgie Auld was the tenor soloist. Buddy Rich was the drummer. Gus Bivona was the clarinet soloist. And, of course, Bunny's peerless trumpet. This is Sing You Sinners. Berrigan and his orchestra and Sing You Sinners. WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley. I have jazz records for you. At the moment, we're listening to some of the big bands that played jazz. Here's Woody Herman and the tail end of the second Herd. Matter of fact, the album, which is probably a bootleg album, I don't know. Somebody burned me a copy, and so I don't have too much information on it. But the album itself was called Last Blast, and the band was on the West Coast in the summer of 1949, I believe. We'll check that. This one, well, Woody explains what's going to happen here, and this has got Serge Chaloff with one of those knuckle busters. Now?
We'd like to do a tune that was written especially for Serge Chaloff by Shorty Rogers. It's called Man Don't Be Ridiculous from the Picture Frame. We'd like to do it now, all right? See. We'll be right back.
Several gangs featured on this one, just as they are on the Capitol record. Earl Swope, Bill Harris, Ernie Royal, Shelley Mann, Terry Gibbs, Oscar Pettiford, Serge Chaloff, and Shorty Rogers, who's responsible for the writing. And when you stop at your music shop to buy it, or when you ask your favorite disc jockey to play it for you, ask for That's Right.
So Shorty Rogers got composer credit on that, but he had just finished listening to Tiny Khan's Tiny's Blues, huh? Tiny's Blues was borrowed by so many arrangers. Well, let's wrap it up with Lionel Hampton one more time for Flying Home from Carnegie Hall, April 15th of 1945.
Thank you.
goodness, Carnegie Hall hasn't been the same since. Lionel Hampton flying home. That's all we have time for in this hour. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. I'm Dick Buckley. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio.
I'm Krista Tippett. Join me for a special forum on religion and public life. You'll hear two veteran politicians speak frankly on how they reconcile personal religious belief with a life in politics.
Some of the fundamental propositions common to all of our religious convictions actually enrich public service and make public service especially inviting.
Join me for Politics and Faith in America.
This evening at 5 on Chicago Public Radio. The following is a public service announcement provided by Chicago Public Radio. The Highland Park Community House Jazz Series concludes with a performance by the wide-ranging harmonica player Howard Levy. That's next Sunday, March 9th at 3 o'clock at the Highland Park Community House, 1991 Sheridan Road in Highland Park. Tickets and information at 847-432-1515. This is Chicago Public Radio.
Support for this WBEZ program is provided by audio consultants who carry a wide range of audio and video equipment, now offering the CD entitled Ear Witness, featuring historic recordings on the Steinway reproducing piano, including Prokofiev playing Prokofiev and Stravinsky playing Stravinsky. Information is available at 847-864-9565. Support for this WBEZ program is provided by Navy Pier. Information about the activities and events taking place at the pier this week can be accessed online at NavyPier.com. This is WBEZ Chicago at 91.5 FM and WBEW Chesterton 89.5 FM.
Back in the early 1950s, when Count Basie reorganized his big band and began to record for Norman Granz, that was in 1952, the band didn't enjoy immediate success. It wasn't overwhelming success, but Basie started the big band at a time when most of the big bands were folding. In fact, he had folded up 2 years before, and he liked the big band so well that he decided to go back to it again. Other record companies were putting out albums of so-and-so plays Count Basie, and I used to wonder why on earth didn't the record companies that Basie recorded for put out an album of the best of Basie or that sort of thing. All the time that he was with Norman Granz, he didn't. Finally, in the summer, early summer of 1960, when they were recording for Roulette, the people at Roulette decided to do an album called Basie Plays Basie, or actually they called it The Best of Basie. And maybe it's just as well they waited. This was that great, great Basie band that had Snooky Young playing the lead trumpet and Sonny Cohn playing some of the lead, too. And Thad Jones and Joe Newman were the two soloists. The trombones were Al Gray and Henry Coker and Benny Powell. The saxophones, led by Marshall Royal, and Frank West playing second alto and occasional tenor with the two tenor soloists, Billy Mitchell and Frank Foster. Charlie Foulkes played baritone saxophone, and the Basie rhythm section of Freddie Green guitar, Eddie Jones bass, and Sonny Payne the drummer, and Basie at the piano. They did a double sleeve album on Roulette, The Best of Basie, and they went back to 1937 for some of the early ones, and went all the way up to the mid-1940s and some of the things that were popular during the war years. And I was going to compare them. I was going to play first one and then the original and then the other and then the original. And I thought, no, everybody's familiar with the original. Let's just play the 1960 band, remembering, for instance, 1937, when one of the things in the book was an Eddie Durham composition, an arrangement called Topsy. Has two tenor soloists, Frank Foster and Frank Mitchell, and Billy Mitchell, Frank Foster and Billy Mitchell. Billy says, sometimes I listen to the records and I can't tell whether it's me or Frank. So this goes on with the liner notes then. Since the solos were switched around from take to take during the session, the musicians will not vouch for credits here and on a couple of other tracks. So take your choice, the first tenor soloist and the second tenor soloist. This is Topsy. The 1960 Basie Band playing one from 1937, Topsy, Eddie Durham composition. Here is one from 1938, one of the more popular things in the book. This one originally featured both tenor soloists, Herschel Evans and, Herschel around at this time? Swinging the Blues, had both tenor soloists, Prez and Buddy Tate, if he was in the band, or Herschel Evans, I forget right now. How could I forget that? I don't know. And both trumpet soloists, Sweets Edison and Buck Clayton. By the way, there were no arrangements left in the Basie Band after all these years for these early things, and Frank Foster listened to the early records and made the arrangements for the current Basie Band. So here we are with Swinging the Blues. Just one tenor soloist on this one. No, I beg pardon. Both tenor soloists are featured. Get it together, Buckley. The two tenor soloists are featured. The first tenor solo is Frank Foster. The second is Billy Mitchell. Swinging the Blues. The Blues, originally by the 1938 band. Here's another that was a success by the early Basie Band. Herschel Evans has composer credit on Blue and Sentimental. And on this 1960 version, Frank West, who by this time had switched to alto and was playing second alto in the band, turning over the tenor chair to Billy Mitchell. So there were still two swinging tenors and Frank playing lead alto. But he goes back to the tenor on this one. The trumpet is Sonny Cohn, and the clarinet is Marshall Royal. Blue and Sentimental. Blue and Sentimental. That was Frank West, tenor saxophone, Marshall Royal playing the clarinet. You remember on the original Basie recording of Blue and Sentimental, Lester Young played the clarinet part near the end. WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley. We're here with Jazz Records for you every Sunday from noon until 3 o'clock. And always in the third hour, saluting a special artist or a special group. Today we're playing things from the Roulette album that was recorded in June of 1960 called The Best of Basie, in which the great 1960 band re-recorded some of the hits of the past. One that was introduced in 1938 that probably was played the last time the Basie band played any place. They did this one regularly. Basie used to use it as, first of all, he used it sometimes as a final selection, and other times he used it as an encore when they were called back. But almost every night they played Jumpin' at the Woodside. This features Frank Foster's tenor saxophone and Crazy Eight Bars by Thad Jones, Jumpin' at the Woodside. Jumpin' at the Woodside, Frank Foster's tenor saxophone featured on that one. That was one they played almost every night, all down through the years, always featuring one or two of the tenor men with the band. One of the major successes, one of the major reasons for success with the early Basie band was Jimmy Rushing. And here's one of his big ones. They recorded originally in 1938, and Here's the 1960 recording. Joe Williams, having replaced Jimmy Rushing, of course. Marshall Royal playing the alto saxophone solo. Billy Mitchell's tenor. And Joe Newman with a beautiful trumpet chorus on Sent For You Yesterday and Here You Come Today. Yesterday and Here You Come Today. Joe Williams singing that one. Here's one I remember reading in Downbeat. Basie's promotion man, they always try to get the names in the trade papers, that sort of thing. Basie's promotion man must have sent this one in. Basie had a recording session for Columbia in which he recorded a new blues, this is not a quote, but it's close to the original article. He recorded a blues by Jimmy Rushing and three instrumentals, including the new Basie theme, Rockabye Basie. I thought, what, is Basie changing his theme? Well, it turned out to be just a promotion piece to get Basie's name in Downbeat, I guess, because they never did change the 1 o'clock jump to Rockabye Basie.
Thank you.
just fading into the background there. That was Rockabye Basie from 1939. The alto chorus was Frank West. Frank Foster played the tenor chorus, and Thad Jones having little lip problems with his chorus, but they let it go. Here's a Lester Young composition. This one went into the books in 1939 and features, instead of Prez, Frank Foster, Joe Newman's trumpet, and Basie heard on this version of Tickletoe. They have it right in the liner notes, but on the record it says Tickletoes. All right, if you want to tickle more than one. Composition, Tickletoe, 1939 edition to the book. Frank Foster was the tenor soloist there, Joe Newman's trumpet. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley. We have jazz records for you every Sunday from noon until 3 o'clock. We play the good old good ones, and the last hour always devoted to sometimes surprising, sometimes not. Today we're listening to the Basie Band, the Great Basie Band of 1960, with their recording, re-recordings of some of the early successes of the Basie Band. And I wonder why they waited so long to do it. Of course, this band was so great that it's good to hear them doing these things. Here's one that Henry Wood wrote for the early band. They did it in 1940. Tenor soloist here is Billy Mitchell. And Joe Newman's trumpet. This is Broadway. That was always one of my favorite Basie arrangements. It had the nice choruses by Prez and a good arrangement by Henry Wood. From 1940. Here's the 9:20 special. Another one of those things like they named the 1 o'clock jump because they kind of made it up on the spot and it was 1 o'clock. And so that, thus its title. This one was at a recording session and it was 9:20 in the morning. And for lack of a better title, they called it the 9:20 special. Frank West plays the alto chorus, Joe Newman's trumpet, Frank Foster the tenor solo, and Earl Warren has composer credit on this one from 1941. Frank Foster's tenor on the 9:20 special. Remember, on the record, Coleman Hawkins sat in with the band on the recording date and played the tenor chorus on the original recording of 9:20 special. And also, Earl Warren has composer credit on that the lead alto with the early band. Frank West played the alto chorus there, Joe Newman's trumpet, of course, and Frank Foster. Here's one of the big hits of the Basie wartime band. Buck Clayton has composer credit on this, and you'll hear Frank West again with an alto chorus and Billy Mitchell's tenor chorus. This is another one of my favorite arrangements. The original, seems to me the original V-disc had a nice long tenor chorus by Buddy Tate. Here is Taps Miller. Taps Miller. That was Frank West playing the alto solo. Billy Mitchell was the tenor soloist. Here's another one of the wartime band's most played numbers. It had a different title, which escapes me at the moment, on the V-disc and some of the broadcasts that they did. But when the record ban was over, when the record strike was over and they got into the recording studios, they recorded it and called it Avenue C, a swinging Buck Clayton arrangement. The tenor soloist is Billy Mitchell. Avenue C. Yeah, it seems to me Al Killian was with the band when they originally recorded that, and he made that flip up to the ceiling, that bop, beep, which I always miss when I hear any other version. That was Avenue C, and the soloists were Billy Mitchell and Joe Newman, and of course Basie at the piano. I wish that they would have done the 1 o'clock jump by the 1960 band, but they didn't see fit to do it. However, we do have this. That was the Basie Band from the Americana Hotel in Miami, May 31st of 1959, playing the famous theme song with Sweets Edison sitting in with the band on trumpet. On there you heard Sweets with some of his favorite licks. That just about does it. As a matter of fact, that does do it. Do it? It does, yes. I have enjoyed, and I hope you have too, the 1960 Basie Band playing some of the outstanding selections from the earlier Basie band, going back to 1937 for some of the things. My first inclination when I thought about doing this program, as I mentioned, was to do first play first the original recording and then follow it with the 1960 version. And then I thought, no, everybody's familiar with the original, so we'll just play the 1960 band. Now that it's all done, I wish I had played first the original recording and then the copy. But it's water over the dam. We have... Oh, I was signing off the show and all of a sudden I drew a blank. Yeah, there's nothing left to say except that I'm Dick Buckley. We're here every Sunday from noon until 3 o'clock and we bring you jazz, traditional jazz, classic jazz, the jazz giants, the good old good ones. So if you enjoyed it, join us again next week. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. Happiness.